Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. If you've been with us, then you know we are over in the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, verses 10 through 18. Today we come to verses 17 and 18. The reason we came to this revealing text is because we have before us an alternative view on predestination, in which God predestines based on our choices. God, in eternity past, knows what we will choose in our lifetime. And if we choose Christ, then He chooses us. If we do not choose Christ, then God does not choose us. Bottom line, in this view, God's choice is based on our choice. But as this chapter in Romans teaches, the alternative view is not biblical and therefore should be rejected. And thus far I have walked us through verses 10 through 16 of Romans chapter 9. If you listen attentively, then you know I did skip over one verse that is often problematic for Bible readers. That is verse 13. And so I will come back to that today and tie it into verses 17 and 18. I hope you come to this time anticipating the teaching and that you are ready to follow along with me in Romans 9. For context, let me begin the reading at verse 14. Romans 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend on the man who wills, or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then, God has mercy on whom He desires, and He hardens whom He desires. Again, as he so often does, Paul quotes from the Hebrew Bible. Verse 17 of Romans 9 is a quotation of what God says through Moses to the Egyptian Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16. If you want to write this down, in the margin of your Bible, at Romans 9, verse 17, write Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. And the context of God's word to Pharaoh comes amidst the plagues the Lord has sent against the Egyptians, this time after the plague of boils. The message is to let my people go, that they may serve me. God commands Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave the land of Egypt, but the Pharaoh resists. With these words, Holy God is saying something of wonderful theological value. For this very purpose I raised you up. Meaning, God chose the Pharaoh, and God raised him up. This particular Pharaoh did not get into the highest, most supreme position in the Egyptian civilization on his own accord. No. God sovereignly put him there, and the Lord did so in order that God's name will be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. My name there speaks to the comprehensive character of God, and my power speaks of God's dominant control over this whole world and everyone in it. And this teaches us that God is sovereign over all political rulers. Proverbs 21, verse 1 says it clearly, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. God turns it wherever he wishes. Proverbs 21, 1. And then Paul the Apostle draws a conclusion. Romans 9 and verse 18, so then, God has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. Paul's point here is that both Moses and Pharaoh were sinful men. Both, for example, had murdered. And that made both of these now famous men worthy of God's wrath and judgment for sin. But it was Moses who received God's mercy, and it was Pharaoh who received God's just punishment for his sins. Moses received mercy, and Pharaoh received justice. Verse 18 here should immediately remind us of a similar statement in verse 15. Romans 9, verse 15, also a quote from Exodus, "For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." Remember what we said yesterday about this verse? We can apply these same thoughts to verse 18 today. The truth is, some people receive God's mercy. He predestines these people for salvation. Some people do not receive God's mercy. He does not predestine those people for salvation. Moses received God's mercy. Pharaoh did not. And then we come to a hard saying. Actually, in this section of Romans chapter 9, there are at least two hard sayings. The one here in verse 18 is this: He, meaning God, hardens whom he desires. I will tell you now, we are going to carry this into tomorrow, because this statement allows us the opportunity to address another dimension of the doctrine of predestination. So I am only going to say something briefly about this now. And what I want to do is ask, what does this word hardens mean? Literally in Greek, it means to make something hard. And it is used figuratively in the scripture to make stubborn or to make obstinate. For example, again back in Exodus, we read of God hardening Pharaoh's heart and of Pharaoh hardening his own heart. But if we think that by God hardening Pharaoh's heart, it is meant that God intervened in Pharaoh's life and intentionally put unbelief in his heart, that God made Pharaoh sin, that God created evil in Pharaoh's heart, if that is what you take this to mean, then you are wrong. That is not what God hardening a heart means. And again, we will return to this, Lord willing, tomorrow. So stay tuned. And please be back with us again next time. I said there were two hard sayings. This is when I want to direct your attention back to verse 13. In Romans 9, verse 13, Paul writes, "Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." What does it mean for God to say he loved Jacob, but he hated Esau? Again, we most likely do not have a problem with God loving Jacob. But for God to hate? I mean, the Lord does not even say, as we often do, "I hate the sin, but I love the sinner." God does not say that. Instead, God says he hates Esau. First, I want you to know when God said this. Earlier in this text, I told you when God said, in reference to Jacob and Esau, "The older will serve the younger." That was said by God to the boy's mother, Rebekah, before either son was born. But this sentence, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated," was said in Malachi chapter 1, which was long after the two boys had lived their lives and two nations had come from them. So God said this about 2,000 years later. Much history had already taken place, proving that God had good reason to hate the descendants of Esau, to hate them with a holy hatred for their evil. Second, therefore, it seems to me the best way to interpret this statement is to say that God had in mind Esau's idolatrous descendants, not Esau the man himself. For example, in the book of Genesis, we do not read of any hatred God expresses toward Esau. The holy hatred comes thousands of years later, after the nation that emerged from Esau's loins had acted in pure evil. That nation was Edom. and the nation that emerged from Jacob's loins was Israel. The Lord's love of Jacob here is applied to Jacob's descendants. While Jacob's descendants were certainly not perfect, they ebbed and flowed in their obedience to God, they were still his sovereignly elected people for whom God loves. The Lord's love of Jacob here is applied to Jacob's descendants. The Lord's hatred of Esau here is applied to Esau's descendants. Third, this word hate is not used in the same way we typically say that we hate. By hate, we mean malicious intent. God does not. Hate, in this sense, means a holy hatred of sin. And it means the absence of special divine favor. God gave Jacob a gift of divine favor that God did not give to Esau. So in this sense, Esau is hated, whereas Jacob is loved. God chose Jacob, Israel, for salvation, and God passed over Esau, Edom, for salvation. It is significant for you to catch what is meant by hate. It is similar to what we said earlier about the word hardens. We have to get the meaning right in order to understand the full context of what is actually being said. What does the Bible mean by what it says, especially in our English translations of the ancient languages? Fourth, let me add this. The statements Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, and he has mercy on whom he desires and he hardens whom he desires are examples of antithetical parallelism in Hebrew mode. That's the technical way to say the same idea is restated in different words side by side. There is an antithesis or contrast. Here, Paul brings together opposing ideas in marked contrast, love and hate. More tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.